Hi Earthlings, and welcome to another episode of the Mother Earth Heroes podcast. We are looking at how inspiring people ideated, prototyped, and tested concepts to develop sustainable products and services and the impact that they're having on the world. We're looking at food in the current series, and 88 million tons of food are wasted annually in the EU, with an associated cost estimated at about 143 billion. Fresh fruit and vegetable contribute to almost 50% of that waste, and finding safe ways to prolong the shelf life of fresh produce is an area of increasing focus. Now, wrapping produce in plastic and spraying it with gases are not sustainable. So what other options are there? My guest today is Fanny Rollet, the founder and CEO of Antofinel. The inspiration for her business came from a glass of wine in a vineyard. Looking at what was considered waste in the industry, she figured out how to valorize it and to create a potent natural fungicide and antioxidant to protect post-harvest fruits and vegetables, and also the opportunity for the pre-harvest market as well. In this episode, you'll get to hear how she got inspired to start her own company, the benefits of combining startup with university backing, how she approached her business in a circular way to create value from waste, and how working on one challenge can open up other business models that you perhaps didn't initially envisage. I hope you enjoy this conversation with Fanny Rollet of Antofinel.
My inspiration is because I met a CEO when I was a student in master degree. This CEO called André Churica. André Churica is a man who built his own company and gave me an interview when I was a student. And I say, okay, I want to becoming like this guy, but earlier than them. So I have the idea to create my own company. At the end of my master degree, I have a project on colorectal cancer, but the patent linked with the project was by a bigger company. So I don't have a project. And my first idea of Antofinel come because I met a winemaker. At an evening and this guy asked me how he could win more money. And I say, okay, it's a good question, but I drink a lot of wine this night, so I can't answer you. But I think about it, and it's the reason why I created Antofinel. My goal is to valorize a winemaker differently selling a wine. We valorize his byproduct, so vine wood, and we extract polyphenol of interest from this vine wood, not for cosmetics only, but for biocontrol in order to develop new kind of phytosanitary product. Extract from vine.
Okay, so it was pretty certain, you know, immediately you already knew you needed a product, and then that product sort of, you're actively looking. Were there other things that sort of came along, but that one just presented itself quite quickly?
Okay, for myself, I was a student when I created Antofinel, so I don't realize a lot of things before. what I could say, it's... I start Antofinel when I have the only risk to success. So it's a very good thing to my job, because if I do it again, I do it again as the same thing, because I created when I was a student, and it's a very, very good opportunity to develop his own job, his own company, his own idea. And I love that. I prefer manage my own future, and it's really a great opportunity for me, because I think that if I becoming an employee from any company, I think that I finished to create my own company, because it's on me. I don't know how do you say that.
Well, I think this is the thing. So you always kind of had this inspiration on this person had inspired you, said being a CEO of a company, you said, this is kind of what I'd like. But then what happened, I suppose, when you actually started the business? Because you said you started when you were a student, so therefore you had probably low risk to a certain extent. We have nothing when we leave university, so what are we losing? But biotech, I would imagine it's quite an expensive and sort of thing to start into. There's an infrastructure that's required. It's a capital heavy, I would have thought, sort of setup. How did that work for you?
It's because I have the support of Montpellier University. So I go on a lab of my director of master, Mr. Christian Gelmand. And when I tell him, okay, I have an idea, I want to extract vinewood in order to develop a fungicide, but natural fungicide, he say me, okay, it's a great idea, come in lab and try. I say, okay, I come. So I start in the lab. In the University of Montpellier, I have already a lab on University of Montpellier, even if we are here in Brittany now. And it's because we have this support of the university that we could create it with a few money to start. Because I agree with you, biotechnology, it's a heavy company in terms of money, but with the support of university, we have access to material, we have access to idea, we have access to knowledge on polyphenols of vine. And it's easy to develop something if you have the motivation and if you have the time to work. So I spent 3 years alone on the project. And when I have demonstrated that my idea is a good idea, when I have my proof of concept, I employ my first salary and we grow. So without the university, I can't start. And it's my, it's a point. So university in France, very important. It's difficult for a professor come from university to have money to develop a lot of project. But if we combine a project of startup and knowledge university, you can create easily something. And we have the chance in France to have a lot of instruments to finance this kind of idea. And it's also a reason why I stay here in France, because to start, we have a very good support of all our government. And with the university, it's a combo gagnant. I don't know the word in English, but it's a good way to develop without a lot of money.
No, I think there's a support from, as you say, both from an educational point, but also from a government sort of funding point of view, that obviously gives you that huge advantage there. But was France then, that was obviously from your where you were, is that the best market for what you're doing right now? How is that? Because I...
Yeah, when I do that, I think that it was the best time because we have the plan Ecofito 2018. Becoming 2025 now, but we have a real government want help company like me to reimplace chemical, and it's an opportunity because every year we see since I created every year we see chemical molecules released from the market, and it's a new chance for our project to go on the market and to have several markets. So we want to start with post-harvest market, but now we're looking for a pre-harvest market also, because we have a lot of molecule we are released from the market. So it's a good opportunity also in terms of regulatory, because the European Union really want to reimplace the chemical. And I think that in 2012, it was a good year to create it, to develop this kind of idea, because it's the beginning of the biocontrol development all around the European Union.
The focus I'm doing this particular series on this podcast is on food. And the kind of challenges going to be faced in the coming years. Yeah. We've got exploding population growth. You've got degradation of soil. We've got sort of a multiple number of challenges that we're facing. And I think it was somewhere I read that 45% of all European produce is wasted in Europe due to ineffective post. What would the effects of your solution be then? I mean, could you tell us a little bit about Antifony and how it worked?
Today, with the release of the market from chemical molecules, we have a lack on post-harvest because today, most important molecule of post-harvest, which allow us to have to reduce the losses after harvest, are released from the market. So my solution is to replace this kind of chemicals molecules, but with a panel of efficacy more large, because today chemical molecule, for example, imazalil works on penicillium, but not on botrytis, not on rhizopus, not on other pathogen. And what we demonstrate, a large range of efficacy of our solution, because we have a combination of different kind of molecules. So it's not only one molecule, but more than 100 molecules. We have an activity on our extract, and we have a large range of efficacy on several pathogen. So we have an efficacy on botrytis, we have an efficacy on penicillium, we have an efficacy on monilia, we have an efficacy on rhizopus. We have so it's the reason why our product is a little bit different, and it's the reason why I hope that we can help to reduce this percentage of losses in post-harvest, because we don't act only on one pathogen, we act on several pathogen with our solution.
So this would be then replacing some of the existing chemicals that are extracted from, what are those bases that they're normally used from? I take it there.
It's a synthesis of molecules, chemicals molecules. So we replace by extraction of byproduct come from agriculture. So we don't use land for produce our natural product. We only use byproduct. So it's a state of mind also, and all other biocontrols that we develop come from this agricultural waste, because for me, what it's important is really to use waste in order to valorize in a project to help to reduce the losses in terms of agriculture, because as you can say, the population grows and the land doesn't grow as a population. So we need, before to produce more, we need to lose less.
And so that sounds like a very sort of circular system. You're using the waste from the actual the industry, the agricultural industry, to produce something that protects it. Do you think about this? This is like as we're going to circular design and thinking about the circular process. Is that something more you're dealing more with, or customers and clients are coming to you with those sorts of projects?
It's a state of mind when we start. When I see the winemaker, I ask him which we could sell and which kind of things that he doesn't sell. So he told me about vine wood, and he said, okay, vine wood is my product, but every year I cut the wood and I do nothing. Only 3% on vine wood are valorized. So I say, okay, it's perfect idea, because what we want to do is to extract this vine wood, which is a waste, and to transform that in a product. And our residue of extraction are valorized in two ways. One way is for building a house. I don't have the word in English, but in order to make wood to build house, because we compressed the residue of extraction in wood. And the other way is to give to the winemakers the opportunity to put again the wood on these fields in order to have organic amendments, and but without fungus. Because the problem of winemaker, for example, in Bordeaux or in Champagne, you have a big malady, big disease on vine, sorry. And this disease is ESCA. So it's due to a fungal pathogen. And if they, if the wood stay in the field, you have vine who have the disease every year, and more vine have the disease, because you create a hot spot of fungal. So with our process, when we take the wood, we extract, but we also sterilize the wood, and we can address again to the winemaker the wood, but without fungus. So it's a circular economy. Yeah, I'm agreeing with that. Totally agree.
What other applications are you kind of imagining then as this develops? How does that's been, have you said, you've got your proof of purchase, you've got it a sort of existing a business that's evolved over time. How's that then developed? Where's that gone?
For our product in biocontrol, the other point that I see when I start at Antofenol, it's in order to extract vinewood, we only use organic solvents like methanol, for example, or ethanol, but with a high level. And I say, okay, it's a little bit stupid to create a biocontrol product, but with organic solvents, not very good for environment. And it's the reason why we develop technology in order to eco-extract our compound. So without organic solvents and in a few times. And it's the reason why we choose a microwave in order to extract our vinewood and other kind of of plants. Sorry. So today, for the business model, we have two things. We extract for customer, for cosmetics customer, food customer, plants with our technology of extraction, but we also propose our extract with antimicrobial activity to other markets. For example, cosmetics markets want to develop natural antimicrobial in order to replace paraben or phenoxyethanol, for example. And we have solution with our extract to replace them. So I think that natural antimicrobial solution is the future. So we have a lot of markets and we need to make a choice to develop our solution in each market.
I suppose that's one of the challenges then, when where to kind of focus and where I suppose the biggest opportunity is. But what drives you? Is the biggest opportunity for you perhaps the, I don't know what forces you have upon you, but is it something you're looking at sustainability where you're thinking about, okay, how can we grow this business really quickly, or how can we grow this business I don't know, effectively, I'm not sure, but you know, there's a different mindset.
Yeah, I understand what you want to say. Very quickly, not for biocontrol is not very quickly. So for example, in order to homologate our product in the European Union, we need around 6 years. So it's not quick for a company.
Yeah.
So what I try to do at Antofenol is to choose our market. For example, we have partnership with the cosmetics industry. We have partnership with food industry, which have less problem to homologate our kind of solution, and in order to develop turnover of Antofenol, not to be totally dependent of our investor. So we develop other markets like cosmetics or feed with partnership, and we keep biocontrol at Antofenol because my goal is to becoming a leader in biocontrol solution, even if it's long, even if it's difficult, even if it's not, even if we don't make a lot of turnover for the first year, but I think that it's the future. And I have two boys, and my goal is that my two boys can eat a fruit and vegetable without any question, because it's natural product on this fruit and vegetable, and they could eat it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think
it's my state of mind.
Okay, so you mentioned something there as well, which I thought was interesting, which is, I suppose, and it's kind of that shift. You start off from, I suppose, initially quite a scientific background with a really kind of entrepreneurial drive that you want to, you know, kind of want to do something. But then as you go further down the business, things change. You start then becoming a manager. You also become, I guess, some sort of policy, and you've got to be dealing with policy there at a sort of regulation level. So what about those challenges as you went further down this route?
Scientist and my company, and the other day I'm a specialist in regulatory, and the other day I'm a specialist in financial. My company is a little company. We are only 15 people at Antofenol today. So we do everything. So today I'm more a manager and more a CEO, but I keep an eye on my R&D because I have always other ideas that we develop with my R&D team. So I don't make the experimentation at the beginning, but I keep an eye on R&D because it's our future. And if we don't innovate, we're dead. So it's also an important part of my work to be the balance between scientist part and managerial part. And we need to find the good point between the both in order to grow the company.
And how's that changed your life? I mean, since you started this in 2016, I mean, that was probably seems a lifetime ago.
It's a very good question. I don't know. I don't know because before I was a student, so my life is a life of CEO, and I never be other things than CEO on my own company. So it's a little bit difficult to me to answer you on this point. What I could say, it's good because every morning when I wake up, I say, okay, I go on to Finale, I want to change the world. I want to becoming a leader of biocontrol. It's a great source of motivation. Even if you have a big problem on all the day, and even if my work is more about solving this kind of problems, it's easy. It's easy because I have the motivation because it's my own company. My husband work with me. My son comes the night when he finishes the school to see the lab. So it's a family project, and my life doesn't change. I created my life around my project.
Okay, I love that. Creating a life around the project. So, and what do you see sort of in, I suppose, the future? You talked a bit about your sons and where you'd like to be and being a leader, but how is the industry shifting to give you that opportunity in the future?
What I see since I start, big player in agrochemical want to develop biocontrol, not only for the greenwashing, they really want to develop biocontrol. So I think that big player like Bayer, like Syngenta, like UPL, want really put on the market biocontrol solution because the European market doesn't want chemical solution. So they need to find good solution. So they develop their own solution, but they also buy company like Ontophenol to develop this kind of solution quicker. But what I want to do is to develop, to keep the knowledge on extraction and on plant here at Ontophenol, but make partnership with a company like with big player in order to sell the product at large scale. But what I say to my investor, I never want to sell Ontophenol. My goal is to becoming bigger than this bigger. It's a little bit ambitious, but it's what I want. And I say, okay, tomorrow buyer come with $100 million. I say, okay, good. Wait, it's not the time. We want to becoming bigger.
Okay. So you're not interested in sort of trying to get very quickly to some exit. This has never been the plan. This is...
No, it's not the plan.
Yeah, that's really nice. I think we need some patience in a more sustainable economy. We need to also have passions for what we actually do rather than thinking about financial rewards, because we need the benefits. We need to be doing more good than harm.
And we need time to develop good solution. And today, the system, we want to develop a startup, and okay, we develop a startup, we depose patents, and when we have a pre-money, when we have a good money, we say, okay, we sell to another player. I say, okay, why not? But why try again to create it? We created Ontophenol, and I want to stay at Ontophenol, and I want to develop Ontophenol. It's enough. I don't want to create 10 company, just one.
Sure. So what's the next challenge? And the next challenge is about that scale. The next challenge is then we've got a vision. We know where we want to get to, but in order to achieve that, there's the challenge of getting more funding on board or partnerships and things like that. But it's
the challenge today is on a commercial partnership. Today we need to choose the good partnership for commercialize our biocontrol solution. And the challenge is to start on US before to come in EU. It's a little bit strange, but US government have a regulatory system easier for biocontrol product. So in order to homologate a biocontrol product in US, you need only 2 years. Okay. So it's good. So we start to commercialize our solution in US, and we could commercialize our solution in EU 2 years after the US. So the challenge is here. How to manage the sale on US and the production here on EU and the regulatory here on EU before to come again on EU to commercialize. It's a point. For the technological part, we plan to build another factory bigger than we have on Brittany to produce 1 tons per day of our product to accuse this US market and this EU market also. But this is easy. What is not easy today is to find a good partner to commercialize product.
I suppose what's your biggest worry, as it were, or your biggest challenge that you would face, you think?
It's a good question. I don't know. Today, I need to be sure that we have the authorization of commercialize our product. So it's one of big challenges, regulatory challenge, but I think it's okay because we have very good results on toxicity, ecotoxicity, efficacy. So it's okay. It's we just need time. It's one of part of challenges. Second part of challenge to me, it's to be sure that we success in scale up. But today it's okay because today we could produce 10 kilograms per day of our product. At the end of the year, we could produce 100 kilograms per day. And we need to produce next year, at the end of the next year, 1 tons per day. So to me, it's easy. Maybe for other people, you say, okay, Fagnoli is totally crazy. But for me, it's not a challenge. It's okay. For me, the challenge is to help the agrochemical player to understand the kind of solutions that we develop and the uses. Okay, you can't use a biocontrol product as a chemical product. It's not the same. You need to be careful about the meaning of dilution, about a lot of things. And we need to help agrochemical to sell well, to sell in the good way our product in order to be sure that our product reemplace chemical and not is not a greenwashing for big player.
Because I suppose this is where it comes down to eventually will be this sort of profitability from the business model. If we can produce things cheaply, that's what's mattered in the past. But how does that work for you? Is that something you can see being able to produce at scale at a price that would compete long term with anything else that's out there?
Is the reason why you need to produce 1 tons per day. If we produce less, it's not good for the market because our price of kilograms of product is too high for the biocontrol market. It's okay for other market like cosmetics, for example, but it's not okay for biocontrol. And it's the reason why we need to build another factory in order to decrease the cost of production and in order to have a rentability of our product on the market.
Well, I like the way you sound so optimistic. It's like, yeah, there's some big challenges. Well, yeah, no, I don't see a problem with any of them. They sound really...
It's not great. A problem. It's a question. It's a difference, you know? Everything that happened today, it's not problem. It's question. And we have all the brains to answer to this question. And it's not a problem. It's just a question at a time. And our work here at Antofenol is to transform this question in answer and in correct answer for the market.
Yeah, and just keep moving forward. That's it. I think that's a great place to end. It sounds very, very promising. I like the sound of it. What I loved about this episode was hearing how Fanny doesn't see problems. She sees questions that need to have answers. And that's what they'd be doing at Antofenol, you know, finding answers. I also keep hearing this from leaders of sustainable companies, that this is their passion project. You wake up in the morning and you say, yay, I'm going to go to work and I'm going to change the world. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it does mean that they are in it for the long game. Now, you can find out more about Biocontrol and Antofenol website. That is www.antofenol.com. I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did with Fanny Rollet.
In the meantime, I just want to say a quick thanks to Nikolai Grabit for his support and inspiration. Thanks to Paul Fife, the amazing podcast editor. You can check him and his music out at paulfife.com. Thanks to Maria for her outstanding research and optimism. And of course, a big thanks to Bettina, my wife, and kids for all their support. I look forward to bringing you more amazing guests soon on the Mother Earth Hero Show. And in the meantime, don't forget to save the planet. We need to do it sooner rather than later.